Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And welcome to Chaos. This is Flyover Ministry. We are talking about how we can build bridges for ministry into the Universalist Church. And if you are joining us now for the very first time, I would encourage you to go back to the very start of at least this month to help make sense of what we're going to be talking about today. Jordan is waiting with bated breath to see if I have any references, and I threw you for a loop with no references.
We're just going to go in.
I have no references. This is just plain and simple. Let's get rocking and rolling on this.
You're reaching, aren't you? You're trying to think of something.
Nope.
Anyways. Nope. Yeah, I've
lulled you into a false sense of security.
I would recommend checking things out earlier, because otherwise this might not make much sense. But I mean, we have a good challenge before us with a group.
Sorry, that it might not make much sense even if you have checked out all
true,
this.
True, but it might make a little bit more. But we have a challenge of like, how do we share Jesus with a group of people that A, don't believe their need for Jesus, or B, believe that they already believe in Jesus, or C, have kind of created a Jesus to match whoever they want them to be, or D, would say, yes, I believe in Jesus, like I believe in everybody else. Equally, because they're all valid, want a pretzel. It's difficult. But at the same time, I think one of the foundations we need to start with is the reality that we get to live in this world. And that is that we are, and they are, people who are made in the image of God. And as a part of being made in the image of God, they're made for something more than what this world offers. They're living in deception. And I think that their participation in that organization points to a desire for that, what we've heard people call God-shaped hole, to be addressed. They know they need something. And this is scratching that itch, but it's not satisfying them, right? Mm-hmm. So we can go knowing that, A, we have the truth, and they or need the truth, and there's somewhat of an openness there because of their willingness to consider, and B, they should be willing to at least consider your statement because they believe pretty much anything. So like, let's just talk about this and have you heard it from this perspective. And then C, probably the most important part, they're not beyond the reach of the Holy Spirit, and
praise
the Holy
Lord.
Spirit, yes, can do his work, and through the word he can reach anybody. So that gives us hope. But just to start off, like, I think, you know, treating them as people is a good place to start. I remember we had this one story. This might seem kind of strange, but there's a point to it. So we were going to fly, and we stayed at this this convent. There's like a retreat center. And driving onto the campus, one of the adults that was with us was like, what if we see a nun? Like, how do you talk to them? What do you say?
In the wild?
The kids were like, hello? You know, it was just like this thought of like, I don't know how to talk to this person. And it's just remembering that they're people. And I think that's a helpful thing for us as we go into this too. These are people. And we know how to have conversations with people. It's like, try saying hello. Ask about their family. and get to know them. Because they've got a story too. And it's good to, and even at the very least, it'll give you something to start with to kind of know where they're at. So that's a good starting point. But there's also things to recognize, too. Martin, the guy who wrote The Kingdom of the Cults that we've referenced, he describes that there's a lot of pre-evangelism that needs to take place here. And so for you, it's going to be recognizing that you're going to use terms, and they might say that they agree with it on the surface, but there's extra meanings to it, right? They're not going to come from the same worldview and build off of the same tradition as you would be coming from. So we need to recognize that there's those things that are a part of that too. And to be very cautious that they don't just say, yeah, we believe in Jesus on top of everything else. It's kind of like a polytheistic group too. You can't just get to a place where we're like, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus and, because it's Jesus alone.
Yeah. Yeah, and at surface level, they are very friendly. They are very agreeable. And at the first week that we started talking about this, all the way back at the beginning of November, the interactions that we had during that community picnic were great and friendly and amicable, and I think we left on good terms. They found out that I was one of the pastors at our church, and they said, oh, cool. And they, you know, at the very least acknowledged our presence, which not every group or organization that's out there that we don't see eye to eye with, or that doesn't have the same worldview and belief set and convictions as us, they might not acknowledge us to that extent. But I think, yeah, again, just the broad spectrum of how do you start, right? Where it's like tackling a really complex knot of like, how do I, like, where's the approach here? Like, do your kids have kites, Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you, the number of times I've untangled the knots in that kite exceeds the number of times that kite has flown. And I know that seems odd. Like, what? Trust me, it just, it has. Fishing knots can be bad too. So it's kind of one of those, how do I approach this? Again, treat them like people. That dead accurate on that. Don't treat them like it's an exhibit at a museum or a zoo, but as someone who is a member in the community, someone who God loves very much, someone who is created in the image of God, and someone who you can simply have a conversation with. And I think when you approach something like this from the realm of curiosity, that can allow you to have an open door. But at the same time, as I say that, I recognize that approaching with curiosity may indicate that you are interested in joining when you are not. So I guess use discernment on that.
And I think even just how you approach with that curiosity is like, you know, I think you can say, hey, I am fully convinced in what the Bible says about Jesus and Christ and all this other stuff. But, you know, I am intrigued by like, what's brought you to this place? Like, why, what have you found so convincing about this? And even asking the question, how do you know that to be true? Like, how do you know that your philosophy on this, or even the fact that how can you trust your reason? You know, what gives you the basis to say that your reason is logic or reasonable? And just from not an accusatory place, but one of, you know, just inquiry and interest. And it'd be interesting. I think that could be an interesting conversation. You know, I would be intrigued by where that would go, you know, kind of how they would answer some of those questions.
Well, and as you do that, here's kind of unintentional consequences of approaching this, is that because of their broad acceptance to include anyone and everyone, this is going to paint you in kind of an unappealing light as being someone who is divisive and exclusive and not so accommodating and maybe ignorant and unwilling to look at ideas outside of what you believe. And what if you believed something that was not true? Would you change it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I believe that all the time. Like, I believe that what I want to do is right. But every time I go to scripture, I see a conflicting point of view and perspective. And I know that scripture is true enough to know that I am not right in all of this. I have to change and correct myself. So as you come and have this discussion, to recognize that not everyone is going to see you as the champion of truth, justice, and the American way on this. You know, you're going to be, it's kind of a tricky conversation to have. And that's the divisive nature of the gospel. I mean, isn't it? When you see that, you know what, Jesus is the only way, and you don't have to like it for that to be true.
And there's an element of being prepared to be hated by the world. Like, don't be a doofus and, you know, be hateful. Because sometimes we take that as a license to do stupid things. And it's like, oh, see, the Bible's true. But no, Jesus is a stumbling block, and we recognize that. And But, you know, if you're going to be approaching them in good faith, I think if you do so with humility, with compassion and concern, mm-hmm. I think that you'd probably, giving them the benefit of the doubt, would be able to have a conversation without being, like, yelled at right away. And you know, it gave you a good opportunity to explore some of the things like, okay, so, you know, we agree on some of the things. We agree in the value of people. But what makes a person valuable? You know, I believe that Scripture teaches, you don't even have to say I believe, because it does. It clearly says right. that people are made in the image of God. And that's what gives us our value, because we've been divinely made. And we have, we see that done multiple times, so much so that Jesus came to die for us and to save us. So there's inherent value there. Also saying things just like, you know, you believe that something, there's hope for everyone, in a sense. It's like, you know, we believe the same thing too. Jesus' death was not just for five people or not just for one nation. Mm-hmm. And it's unique in that it's exclusive, but it's also incredibly inclusive in that it's open to anybody who will believe. And that kind of would show like a parallel link. And then, but you still say that there's these standards, but there's consistency in this. Like there's not inconsistency or something that you have to kind of distort reality in order to believe for this to be true. But you know, planting those seeds and exploring those theological truths could be a way of like opening them to consider just like, and even I think a powerful question is, what if, you know, what if what I'm saying is true? Like, what if there is only one way, and how would we go mm-hmm. about determining that way? And what if you're right, you know, and I don't want to do the whole Pascal's wager thing, you know, like if you're right and I'm wrong, then nothing bad happens to me. But if I'm right and you're wrong, then everything bad happens to you. You know, I don't want to.
Right.
I mean, there's some validity to that, but
that's a fear tactic, and that is not how people are won to the gospel.
Yeah. And that's a different heart behind the question of what if, you know, that's more of just like, are you opening to consider, since you pride yourself in being open up for everything, but let's explore this a little bit, because I don't know how much of the gospel that they would have been exposed to. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if they've been in this their whole life, and even just because we recognize this is a huge component of culture right now too, to say like that inclusivity and tolerance and stuff. And we just put a religion to that in a sense, or it adopted it into an existing religion. There's a lot of appeal, and people might just find themselves like, oh, that's what I am, without doing much thought towards what are some of the alternatives.
I think as you continue to even address this, to continue to point them back to Scripture. I mean, there's points of Scripture where they agree with, they accept it. And there's other points of Scripture that they just are not willing to consider. And I think when they do, this happens with Mike Winger, at least, as he was talking about this on some of the shorts he has on YouTube. But the mentality of, okay, we're going to talk about the deity of Jesus. Well, they're going to, you know, well, what about this passage? And what about this passage? And what about this? And they'll, you know, they'll be all over the place. And it's important for you to center yourself and just say, you know what, we can talk about that in a little bit, but can we talk about just this passage from John 1 a little bit first? Like, let's address this first. And then from our understanding here, then we can go and it helps us understand these other questions that you're asking, right? So to not just be blown about whichever way that the discussion leads, but to be the one who's kind of in control of the questions, and that's kind of hard to naturally do in a conversation. Yeah. to without it sounding like, okay, I'm being a little hazed here, like this is kind of an attack on me and not so much a friendly conversation. But
The last thing that I'm going to say is, I think it's helpful for us to like approach this recognizing that we have the gospel, we have the good news, and it's mm-hmm. not just good news for us. It's good news for everybody. And we don't need to be ashamed of it, but the gospel is also the power of God unto salvation. And we don't need to be ashamed of it. You know, going back to Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And like we said when we opened this week, the Holy Spirit is at work. And we want to include the word when we can, because God's word is powerful. Mm-hmm. And leave the results to God, you know. And I think that should be consistent with when we work with students, bring them to the word, right? When we work with parents, bring them to the word. When we, you know, we should be a ministry that's based in the word in all that we do, because we know that that's where God has chosen to work in our hearts and lives through. So
right.
Don't neglect the power of God, and walk with confidence and faith and see him work. Mm-hmm. That'd probably be the biggest encouragement that I would have.
Yeah. Something that Walter Martin comments here at the end of the chapter that he writes about universalism is that this is, like we've talked about before, this isn't going to be an easy sell to a group whose trinity is pluralism, tolerance, and freedom. But the reminder that he gives is that you have the word of life, and people will recognize as you are feeding them from the word of life that the message that they are receiving from other places does not satisfy. Right? Jesus recognizes this throughout scripture, even Isaiah, Proverbs, where it talks about wisdom calls on the street and says, anyone, please come in, sample my wares, come in and drink deeply from this. Jesus says to the woman at the well, right? If you keep coming back to this well, you keep being thirsty, but the water that I give is the water that brings eternal life. And there is satisfaction and fulfillment that is there. And it reminds me of something too, something that my grandfather said. He was not a highly spiritual person, didn't really talk about faith a whole lot, would acknowledge that he was a Christian, but beyond that, nothing too much. And when he started receiving the word being taught fully, through the testimony of presence and sweat equity, and through occasionally going to church at the church they wound up joining, the line that he said, you don't know that you're starving until you start to be fed. And I think about that profound truth quite a bit when we see the world around us that is starving for the food that we have that is found in Jesus. And it's on us here to share about the bread of life that we follow, to find our comfort and satisfaction and fulfillment in Jesus, and to share that knowledge, not just experience, but also that introduce them to somebody that they will come to get to know as well.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, I do want to wrap up just with that recognition that we have hope. And mm-hmm. And I hope that this leaves you hopeful for exchanges that you'll have with other people. Again, it may not be a Unitarian Universalist that you bump into, but the chances of you running into somebody that holds some of these perspectives is pretty good. Even if they just call themselves humanist, or if they call themselves an atheist, but just don't, or a theist or whatever. But I think all these different encouragements as far as how we can bridge those gaps are helpful for that as well. So the main point, though, is to remember that we are placed in this earth by Christ to be salt and light, to be the ones carrying the message, to sow the seed. And as we leave, my encouragement is, may you be someone who sows seed. May you be one who takes the gospel to other people. Remember to share, to love your neighbor. It's the most loving thing you can do to your neighbor, is to share the gospel. And as you do that, may you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.